are sitting in heavenly places this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Dan, for that opening this morning. And I was just telling my wife this morning what a blessing it was to fellowship with you yesterday. Dan's about, I think, should I say this? You could be the oldest one in the room. But I have known Dan over the years, and it was just a blessing to connect with him. There's a lot of, there's memories and a lot that has happened. We started back in, let's see here, probably 1990, somewhere back there is when we started attending charity. And so there's some connections there. So I want to greet everyone that is here this morning. There's different ones that I know. I don't know that I know everyone, but getting to know you, but it's a blessing to be here. It was a very, very beautiful wedding yesterday. The different things that we heard. It's very good. It's very good. I'm not sure how, you know, we can teach, we can preach. How can we embrace, how can we take these things till they become more a reality in our hearts and our lives? And that's my burden this morning. We're a needy people. We are needy. We need God. We need God. But God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. And we can trust Him. We can look to Him. Praise the Lord. Well, let's do that right now. Let's just have a word of prayer. If we could do that, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning again in the precious name of Jesus. That name that is above all names. That name that every knee shall bow and tongue confess. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh God, I pray that He would truly be lifted up here this morning. Thank you that He has been lifted up, God. Oh Lord, we thank you for salvation full and free. It's all because of Jesus. When I had been for Jesus, I would not be here this morning. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your salvation. The glorious gospel of Christ. Lord, we thank you for that gospel this morning. Salvation. Oh God, I pray. Lord, you know every heart that is here this morning, God. You know every need. You know every burden, God. You know every desire, Lord. And God, we pray, oh Father, that you would meet the needs of the hour here today, oh God. Lord, we know that you are able, Father. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us, Lord, to have faith in the living God, that He can do the impossible. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Help thou our unbelief, God. And Lord, may we come to Jesus this morning. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh God, we thank you for that rest that is in Christ, Lord. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Oh God, I pray, Father, may we experience more of your rest even today. God, just by being together here this morning, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, I pray now, God, for your grace, oh Father, to share what you laid on my heart, God. Bless the congregation here, Lord. Bless every church that is represented here this morning, God. Father, you have called us to yourself, Lord. You have called us to be a holy, righteous people, O God. And I pray, O Father, that we would allow you to change us, O God. Change us from glory to glory, Lord. O God, that the Gentiles would see your glory shining, coming out of our lives, out of our churches. Oh God, I pray. Lord, we need revival. Do revive us again, oh God. Lord, we pray this morning, have your way. And help us to be a broken people, God. Help us, oh Father. Oh Lord, we need you for all these things, God, and we thank you. I pray and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Call, I think it was 2 weeks ago, And somebody on the other end asked if we're coming down here, or I guess we were coming down here, and wondered if I would share. And since I have a daughter down here, Susanna, I guess it's no more New Swinger, but it's Myler. I told John I couldn't say no. So I am here. I have probably different burdens on my heart. But I have a burden for the church here, and a burden for all of us, every single one of us that are here this morning. And that God would have his way. I wasn't sure whether I wanted to say this or not, but it's probably about 32 years ago. Albert, you were here. I'm not sure how many others were here. Joe Carnegie, were you here? Back, Dale was, I think they had gone to Costa Rica already. But anyways, this building wasn't here, and some of us brothers from up there, Lancaster County, came down to help build this building. So I was down here helping 1 week. I think it was a week or so. So I remember being up there on the trusses and looking down, and there was two brothers down here working on this podium or this stage here. So I have memories that go way back. But here we are today. Here we are today. Well, the title of the message here this morning is The Glorious Gospel. The Glorious Gospel of Christ. And I don't know how many of you know, I'm sure some of you know, John D. Martin. He had a message that he preached about the Save Me Gospel. How many of you have heard that message? Save Me Gospel? Okay, maybe not. Maybe it was in the Remnant. Maybe I read it. I forget how that was. But talked about the Save Me Gospel and where there's a gospel out there. We know of the prosperity gospel. We know of the can I call it the selfish gospel? Where it's all about me, I, myself, and I. What can I get out of becoming a Christian? We know that doesn't work out. We know that doesn't work out. So what I want to look at this morning is the glorious gospel of Christ. And has that glorious gospel, can I ask that question this morning? Has that glorious gospel affected you? Has that glorious gospel got a hold of you? Has that glorious gospel changed you? My brother, my sister. The gospel of Christ. Well, Jesus said in John 7, verse 37 and 38, it says here, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Praise the Lord. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And we can ask the question this morning, are those rivers flowing out of me? Are those rivers flowing out of you? Has the gospel, the glorious gospel, has it affected you? Has it changed you? Has it made those rivers to flow out of you? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and do what? Drink. I like that. We heard a message, I think it was last Sunday, about what are we drinking or what are we eating? What are we taking in? And you know, we're taking in all the things of this world, and we are not drinking from the fountain. We're not drinking of Christ. We're going to dry up. We're going to dry up. We need those living, we need that, the living word of God, so that those living waters will flow out of us. And we're so full of the things of this world. What will come out but the world? The world. And so, what is our responsibility as the children of God? All those of us that have been born again, who are here, have been changed by the gospel of Christ. We have, can I say, a responsibility. We have a calling. We have a high calling. I told Reuben yesterday as we were going through the line there, I said, Reuben, you have a high calling to live up to. You have you're called to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's a high calling. How am I doing? How are we doing, brothers? Those of us that are married, if things don't go the way we want them to go, do we still love our wife? Or does something else come out? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And if you're here this morning, if you're not born again, you have not tasted, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. If you have not tasted of him, my desire, my prayer for you today would be that you would taste of those waters today. Come to Christ. Let him come unto me and drink. Bring him to me like we heard already this morning. Jesus wants to meet your need. I can get all excited about this verse here, and I love these two verses here. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. There is another verse I want to look at. It's in Matthew. It's in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Do I get as excited about this as I do those verses where the living waters, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Well, if I want those rivers of living waters to flow, I'm going to have to also embrace what Jesus is saying here. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Follow Jesus. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Shall find those rivers of living waters. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We want those living waters, but some things hinder us. Hinder those waters to flow. Hinder those waters to flow. What is that one thing or things that hinder that water to flow? What is it? Is it simply me, myself, and I? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know this thing of self-denial. I don't know if I can wrap my mind, my heart around it. But maybe it would do us good just to think about Christ as he went to the cross there. He gave his all. He denied himself. He went to the cross. You know, we were talking yesterday about love. I think it was yesterday, and I think I made the comment in, is it in the Song of Solomon, where it says that many waters cannot quench love. I think what the question that was posed, maybe it was last night, Brother Dan, when we were together there talking, you know, the aspect of when we decided to follow Jesus, some of us are older and we have gone through different waters, if you will, trying times. If we would have known what we were going to go through, would we still have made that commitment? And that's where I said, many waters cannot quench love. Our love for God, our love for Christ needs to be hot. If it's not hot, then we will be, how should I say, tested to where some do throw in the towel. But I trust for us here this morning that not one of us will throw in the towel when the going gets tough, when the going gets hard. We have a God who cares, a God who loves us, a God who sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave, can we say, the best that he had. And then his Son came and he gave his very life for each one of us. And oh, we could just somehow get a greater grasp of the love of God. I believe it would make a difference in the things that we go through. And that's a journey that I'm on, my brothers and sisters. Trying to grasp more of the love of God. And we heard a very beautiful children's lesson there. There in Romans, it talks about nothing will separate us from the love of God. Romans is a beautiful chapter. I'm kind of sidestepping here. But all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Do I believe that? Do you believe that? With what you're facing, with what you're going through. Do I believe that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord? Praise God. Okay, let's go on here. Let's just turn to John chapter 11 for another scripture. John chapter 11. This is the account of Lazarus. And it says here in St. John chapter 11 verse 44, it says, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Now you might wonder why, Earl, you're getting rabbit trailed here. Well, there's something in here that I want to just pull out. You know, Lazarus was dead. And Jesus came on the scene, and this man Lazarus was raised from the dead. He became a living man again. Praise the Lord. Became a living man again. He was in that grave. How many days was he in there? And Jesus spoke, and that man Lazarus, he rose from the dead. And he came out, came forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. The point I want to get here out of this is this morning is that is it possible for us to get converted, to have that resurrection life within us? And we still have some of our grave clothes on. Jesus says, loose him, let him go. So I'm not sure how to play all this out, but if we go by how it's said here, somebody else had to help Lazarus to, where Jesus said, loose him. So can we help each other get rid of our grave clothes, if you will? So those waters can flow. We hang on to things and we need to let them go. Are you hanging on to something this morning, brother or sister? Are you hanging on to the world? Are you hanging on to something that maybe in your mind and heart does not even look worldly, but yet God is asking you to let it go? Jesus said, loose him, let him go. Can we let go? We hang on to things, precious things. We hang on to them. But you know, when we hang on to the things that we really need to commit to God, they're better in God's care than in our hands, if you will. To have those open hands, Lord, I give them to you. Whatever it might be. Where we're not hanging on to anything, but we surrender all. We surrender all. Whatever that thing might be that hinders those waters to flow. Thing or things. Fully surrender, Lord divine. I will be true to thee. I brought that songbook along. Now you have a different songbook. I have John D. Martin's songbook. And there was a time that we were using the songbooks that you use here. And somewhere I started using John D's songbook for my personal devotions. And before that, we had a brother's meeting and it was brought up whether we'll want to change the songbooks or not. And I was not on board to change. So we kept him for another year but or so. And then it came up again. In that time, I took this songbook by John that John D has or made, put together. And for my personal devotions, and there was songs in here that so blessed me that the next time it came up, I said, I'm on board to use this book at Zion Christian Fellowship. And so that's what we sing out of. I'm not saying you have to hear, but there's a lot of good songs in that other book too. But I just want to look at this song here. Let's see here. It's in this book, it's 570. I'm not sure what number it is in yours, but I'm just going to read it here. Fully surrender, Lord divine, I will be true to thee. All that I am or have is thine, I will be true to thee. I will be true to thee, Lord, I will be true to thee. Where thou leadest me, I will follow thee. I will be true to thee. Though it may cost me friends and home, I will be true to thee. Cause me in lands afar to roam, I will be true to thee. Now to the world I bid farewell. I will be true to thee. Broken forever its deep spell. I will be true to thee. I will go with thee all the way. I will be true to thee. All thy bidding will obey. I will be true to thee. You know, that's a commitment. And I trust as we're sitting here this morning that our commitment that we already have made to follow Christ and our commitment to walk it with him and walk in his ways that we just say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I will be true to thee. All thy bidding will obey. I will be true to thee. And I think something I read of a Christian that was, God brought something into this Christian's life, And this Christian was struggling or trying to, or struggling with what was, the Lord was asking this Christian to do. And this Christian, you know, wanted to do God's will. And so I think the prayer went something like this: Lord, I want to do your will. I want to, but my heart is not there yet, but maybe have patience with me, but Lord, I do want to do your will. And maybe sometimes we find ourselves there. You know, our heart needs to be engaged. We don't want robots. We want real Christians, real Christianity that has heart in it. Fully surrender, Lord divine, I will be true to thee. I'm yielded to his will, or am I hanging on to self? The world has yet to see what God would do with a man, a woman, or a church that is fully yielded to him. And some of you might remember, I'm not sure that it's written exactly the way, was it D.L. Moody heard something like that in his day, and he said, Lord, help me to be that man. Lord, help me to be that man. What God would do with a man that's truly yielded, surrendered to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for another passage of scripture. Second Corinthians chapter 4. I think I'm going to read the passage here from 1 to 18 and then make some comments. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember, the title is The Glorious Gospel. See if you can find that in this as we read. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in you, but life in you. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things for your sakes, that the abundant grace, this passage is just packed. For all things for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more excellent a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isn't that what our problem is? We see too much the things down here. We need to look up. See those things that are eternal, brother. Won't that help us to have revival? Yes, there's many things to do. We have businesses. We have families. There's many things to do. But in all those things, can we somehow see the things that are eternal? And out of seeing those things that are eternal, that will have an effect as we minister and as we take care of our families and as we have a business and as we have work and so forth. Won't it make all the difference? It will. I believe it will. And so we need to exhort, we need to encourage each other. Like it says in Hebrews, does it say daily? We should come together and exhort and encourage one another. Jesus is coming back, brother. Jesus is coming back. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But till then, let us be busy. Let us make sure that those rivers are flowing out of our lives and that we're not sitting on something that is hindering those waters to flow. You talked, Brother Dan, about young people, and I see different young people sitting here, and I just wish somehow I could, how should I say, I know my early, when I got saved, and after sitting under some preaching, and some of you know Brother Denny, and he was an inspirational preacher, and there was things that came to me that I wanted. But there's another aspect there that I had to learn. But my dear young people, put your life and energy into those things that are eternal. You're never going to regret it. I don't know how it's all going to be when we see Jesus, but can you imagine coming before Christ, coming before God, and that's in Corinthians there too, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Where some will barely make it, where they barely make it in. God help us. We will not regret it. The more we have invested into the kingdom of God, the more, I don't know. Either way, it's going to be glorious. But oh, let us not be slackers, but let us somehow see the things that are eternal and invest our time, our life, our energy, our money, our everything into that kingdom. Let's see here. I'm not sure if I can get into the... there's just a lot in this passage, so I'm almost... Well, let's go back here a little bit. I guess we're going backwards on this chapter. God gives us many opportunities to die so that we can live. Did you get that in this passage here? God gives us many opportunities to die so that he can live, so those rivers can flow out. You know, if we're not dead, if we're not crucified, if we're trying to push our way through, we're not taking that place of death. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And he was saying yesterday about these brothers that were in prison. And the hardship, the hunger, where they were almost skin and bones or whatever. But the presence of God was there in such a real way, they experienced heaven on earth. And sometimes I wonder, we draw away, we try to walk in such a way that we won't face more persecution than we have to and those type of things. And therefore, we don't experience the grace that could be there. Like Paul says here, I mean, he just gives a... We have this treasure, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. That doesn't sound like a prosperity gospel to me. It sounds like a glorious gospel, he said. Well, let me read on. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. There it is. But we don't like to die. We don't like to, you know, we don't like when we're stepped on. We don't like when we're pushed aside. May God help us to see this glorious gospel is not only to set us free. How should I say this morning? We can think of God saves to the uttermost. He sets those souls free that are in the gutter of sin and drunkenness and all those things. But I want to also say this glorious gospel also delivers us from selfishness. And you and I all experience that in one way or another. Am I going to be selfish or am I going to die to that selfishness and I'm going to allow Christ to live through me and those that are with me will see Christ and not my selfishness coming through. Delivered to death so that his life may be made manifest. Oh my. Now that takes me to Romans 2 again where Paul says, how does he say that? In Romans 1. I better turn to it. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed, is made manifest, is made known. As we allow that glorious gospel to change us from glory to glory, as we allow that gospel to do its work in our hearts and lives and deliver us from selfishness, what will the world see? They will see, like it says here, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God. The world needs to see the righteousness of God. How will they see it? Isn't it the only way they'll see it is if we allow God's righteousness to be manifested in and through our lives? Let's look at a couple more of these verses yet. Verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Is that my experience? Is that your experience? You know, there's something about it. When we go through hard times, and if we tap into the grace of God, we can be renewed, will be renewed day by day. It doesn't mean that we're not going to face hard things. We will. I believe we will. But oh, to have the grace of God come through in those times. And the world looks on and they sees what this family or this individual or this Christian is going through. And they shake their head and they try to figure out how can they do it. They don't understand the grace of God. They don't have the grace of God. They have not experienced the glorious gospel of Christ. We faint not, but we are renewed day by day. And in verse 17, Paul says, our light affliction. And the only way I can see how that works out is if we do have an eternal perspective. Paul just calls it, the list that we just read here, he says, just light afflictions. Light afflictions. He had his eyes on heaven. There was a day that Saul was converted. His eyes were open. That glorious gospel got a hold of him and changed him. Praise the Lord. And he saw things eternal. He was, how does it say there in Romans chapter 7 there where it talks about lust and covetousness? He was a covetous man and the law found him out. The light, the glorious gospel, that light shone down on his heart and he responded to it. Was saved, was changed. Well, I had another one here. I'm just going to quickly touch on it here about in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We all know that account of the fiery furnace. They were faced with what are they going to do? Are they going to bow? Are they going to compromise? Or are they going to be cast into the fire? And the point I like to make out of this account is that they did not compromise. They did not bow. They set their eyes on the Lord, the God of heaven. And their testimony was just beautiful. If God delivers us, we should probably go back there, but if God delivers us, I'll just paraphrase it in my own way of saying it. If God delivers us, praise God. If he doesn't deliver us, praise God. And you know, the thing of it is there's another thing in that account is this. They did not dodge the bullet. They did not dodge the fire. They went into the fire. And who was there with them? You see it? You get it? Can we personalize that? You know what we want to do is we want to dodge the fire. We want to dodge the bullets. We want to dodge. But as we go into the fire, trusting our God, he was there in a person. I believe it was Jesus. I guess we can talk about that, what your thoughts are on that, but and you know, they came out of the fire. The king there said, called them out, and they came out. And it doesn't say what happened to the fourth person there. But you know, if they would have been thrown in there and God would have allowed that fire to burn them and take them on home, they would have been in Jesus' presence forevermore. Better yet. But God still had work for them to do. And God still has work for us to do. And sometimes it's hard. We can't see through the fog. We can't see. But somehow they were seeing through it. They had their eternal glasses on. And that's what we need while we're going through these things. We need our eternal glasses on. We need to be having our minds renewed by reading the scripture, meditating on the scriptures. We have in Isaiah 41:10, it says there, I am with thee. 43:2, it says, I will be with thee. When you go through the fire, when you go through the water, I will be with thee. trust Him. Maybe you're facing something here today that you're facing a fiery trial. Trust God that He's right with you right now in your situation this moment. God is there. Well, it takes faith. It takes faith. We need to have those eternal glasses on. It takes faith. We need faith. Believing God is going to be with us. He will help us. He is the God of heaven. We don't have to take things into our own hands because we believe God is in control. Trusting our God that He is able. And that what the outcome will be, I can trust Him. I don't have to take things into my own hands. Oh, to have those, that heart that is yield, that is surrender, that says, Lord, I am yours. I want your will. I want your ways. Faith, I think I touched on this before already. Faith brings rest. Talks about that in Hebrews chapter 4. Faith brings rest. If we believe God, we can rest in Him. It doesn't mean that we're not going to, like we said already, it doesn't mean that we're not going to face things. But if our confidence is in our God, we can have that assurance, we can have that trust that He is with us. And if He is with us, what more do we need? What more do we need? I'd like to touch a little bit on the children of Israel. You know, I think it was 10 times or so when they murmured and complained and tempted God. God, you know, made a way through the water, they had some bitter water, and what was it there? God told Moses to cut the tree into the water, and the water that was bitter was turned sweet. There was different times there. They murmured and they complained. And we read in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 10 where it says that God was grieved with that generation. Why was He grieved? It says there because they did not know my ways or understand my ways. And when we murmur and when we complain and when we dodge the bullet and when we dodge the fire, somehow we're not seeing God right. We're not understanding God right. You know, the prosperity gospel will probably be more where, you know, everything will be good and you won't have to face the fire. If you get sick, you pray and you're healed and everything is good. What if you pray and God, you're praying for what you want, but God has other plans? Then we have to surrender. We have to say, Lord, your will, not mine. And believing in that moment, that God is God and He is trustworthy. And then the grace can come. So let us not be guilty what the children of Israel were guilty of. Even though I'm sure we are at times, but may God help us that we would. I'll just say this. I know over the years I have prayed this prayer, Lord, help me to understand your ways. And it was in light of this scripture here in Hebrews. Help me to understand your ways. And this probably has been said. I wasn't here. I don't know that I ever preached here in this pulpit, but I probably have said it different times. I know I have. Tozer has a book on the knowledge of the holy, and he has something in the beginning of that book about our understanding of God will make all the difference on how we live how we live a Christian life. Dale, maybe you have to help me with that when you get up here. But our view of God makes all the difference. God help us to see Him for who He is. Now, we can, this whole thing of faith, and maybe this touches a little bit more on my journey and something I had to learn. You know, we can have faith But if that faith is just, can I say, almost selfish faith? And so I like this verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, the latter part of the verse says, faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. And we can go into Corinthians 13 there, and it's talking there about charity. And we can have, it says there, I can have great faith to remove mountains, but if a charity or love is missing, I am nothing. So it's possible to have faith, somewhat so-called faith, but yet be lacking in charity, in love. Faith which worketh by love. Faith that is motivated by love. Love is not selfish. If we go into Corinthians 13 there, we would see that. Love is not selfish. May God help us to deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow Him wherever He leads us. Fully surrendered to His will so that His life can flow through us to our families, to our brothers and sisters, to a lost and dying world out there. Faith which worketh by love. We can be motivated to do all kinds of things for God. But that faith, that inspiration, that vision, that goal, make sure it's motivated by love. Make sure it's motivated by love. Faith which worketh by love. The faith which worketh by love. Faith that is motivated by love. We love Him because He first loved us. May God's love be shed abroad in our hearts afresh. It is a glorious gospel. There is power in this gospel to deliver us from our selfishness and to where we, God's people, His love can flow through us to each other, to a lost and dying world. Let us be encouraged this morning to press in, to live and experience this glorious gospel, so that others can be encouraged to do the same. Praise God for the glorious gospel of Christ. May we be excited about the glorious gospel of Christ. May we be more than just excited. May we allow that gospel to have an effect upon our hearts and our lives. And not just like we used to hear a lot years gone by, where it's just in the head and it's not in the heart. Maybe we need to preach that more again. That is a reality. The reality of the grace of God. The reality of the love of God. The reality that God is real. The reality that God is in my whatever situation you find yourself in. God is good. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Praise God for the glorious gospel of Christ. May our faith, may we be encouraged this morning, like I said already, to press in, to give our all. It's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. God help us. May we help each other to find our way through this. John D., I've been hearing lately this thing of money and big businesses and how those things can, if they're not handled properly, they can take the Christian, keeps the water from flowing. I'll say it that way. John D. has preached on that aspect, and we need to help each other, to encourage each other how to walk through these things. The love of money is the root of all evil. We cannot serve two gods. Well, it's been a blessing to be here. I think I'm going to wind down. God bless you all. Blessing to be here. We do have a song. Are we still up to singing it? I have a song that's, again, sorry, it's in John D. Martin's book. But it's 10:19. And if you just want to just come up, Nathaniel and Joshua and Esther, Nathaniel and Susanna and Esther and Levon and Joshua. And had you some other, were you thinking of some others too from Iowa? I don't know if they were left known or not. I'll let that up to you, Nathaniel. I'll just touch on a little bit before they sing it. In the world, love's fire has vanished. It's just a very beautiful song. And again, there is a love that the world knows, but they don't understand the love of God. The love of God is costly, like you heard a couple weeks ago, I think here. The love of God is costly. So I'll close with that. I'll let you sing it. I'm not a good singer, so I'll let them sing.
In the world, love's fire has vanished. No one strives a prize to win. Will she thus be wholly banished, though she Lord, man's need. strong prevail.